Casey. So I've known Casey for quite some time. I used to babysit him. His parents used to pay me to go over to his house and teach him how to play Mario Brothers.
He beat all the hard levels for us that we couldn't beat. So
the funny thing about that is his dad was my youth advisor, and then later on I became his youth advisor, and today he still works and has spent some time working with my kids. So it all comes full circle. Casey and I, 2 years ago, we used to run a lot more than we do now, as you can tell. But we
used to
run quite a bit, and we were talking about different side hustles. And Casey, at that time, was looking at starting to do something more. He was looking for something more in life than the regular 9-to-5. And so he started doing this thing with Amazon. And so I have been able to watch Casey from the very beginning of what he's been able to do with this. And it's exciting because it's something, again, you have control over. You're the master of your destiny. And Casey's been able to do that. He has learned a ton. In life, we basically, when we first start our careers, like Braden was talking earlier, he's going to get paid for what he does. And a lot of us in our lives, we're getting paid for what we do. The goal for all of us is reached a point to get paid for what we know. Because when you're getting paid for what you do, there's only so many hours that you can do it. When you get paid for what you know, you have other people that can do it for you, and we make more money. So that's kind of the goal. Casey's done that. He's a fantastic example of gaining the knowledge. How many hours did he see? You and I were talking about this. So Casey listens to podcasts a lot, and he'll talk more about that. But
yeah.
About how many hours a week do you listen to podcasts?
I don't know, 20, 10, 20 hours a week,
so
we'll say.
He drives a lot for work.
Yeah,
right?
I drive a lot for work.
So about 20 hours a week, and how many years have we been doing this for?
About three and a half.
About 3.5 years. So if you sit there and go, okay, well, he takes 2 weeks off, but he really does it. But for 50 weeks out of the year times 20, that gets us to 1,000 hours, and 3.5 years. So around 3,500 hours of information has gone into his brain, and he's going to give all of it to you in the next 50 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever it is. So we might have to bring him back again for another session, but he has fantastic information. I'm excited to have him here, and so let's go ahead and give him a warm welcome.
All right. Is anybody currently selling on Amazon or thought about doing it for a while? So a few, maybe. So I work for an insurance company, and I'm a marketing rep. I drive a lot, around a lot for work every single day, and so I've always thought of myself more as an entrepreneur, but somehow I got stuck working a job, had to provide for the family, and then as I started this, I really learned that school's for suckers, and I said that back then, and I say it even more so now. Going to school, getting a job is just kind of a trap that we all fall into because that appears really easy, but it's just a trap. And once you get stuck in, it's really hard to get out. So best thing to do is don't go to school, don't get a job, but just, create a company yourself. Amazon, as we all know, has grown like crazy, the past 10 years since, or 15 years or so since it came out with the Amazon Prime program. And so probably all of you know somebody or have heard about somebody talk about selling on Amazon. Amazon in terms of their market size. For last year, there's 58.7 million households with a Prime account, which is about 47.4% of the U.S., so basically half the country is shopping on Amazon, which is why, they make up, 50, almost 50% of all retail sales. So when you think about online sales. So when you think about online sales, you think, eBay used to be big, 15, 20 years ago, and then over time they slowly lost market share. But they're still Amazon's closest competitor. I don't know about you guys, but the area that I'm in, you hear a lot about selling on Walmart since they've created their third-party platform and started to allow other sellers on there. Walmart.com is, half the size of eBay, which, significantly smaller than Amazon. And so, what Amazon has done really well is they allow third-party sellers to sell on their platform. And then they provide the fulfillment service for it. And so, depending on how you have your business set up, a lot of times you don't even have to touch the inventory. And so there's, you know, for a lot of people, that's really appealing. You know, I have to admit, not having to ship out each individual package is really nice because it would suck, especially during the holidays. So it's allowed Amazon to grow a ton because it allows them to have, you know, millions more products that they don't have to buy, and every time it sells, well, they just take a fee for it. And so it's been a great model for Amazon, and, you know, I think third-party sellers now account for about 50% of all sales on Amazon. So how I got started, as I mentioned, I drive around a lot for work, and, you know, 2015, I decided, you know, I wanted to start something on the side. Didn't really know what I wanted, what it was, so 2016 came around, I just set that as, you know, starting a business as my New Year's resolution. Had no clue what I was going to do. I figured it'd be something online, but that was about the extent of the idea. I was just completely lost. I think when it comes to starting a business, there's so many different directions you can go, and it just seems like a really big challenge of, like, what do I do? Who's going to pay me? Who am I going to sell stuff to? Listening to this podcast, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. There's a guy, Scott Volker. I don't know if any of you have heard of him before. He has a website called, I think it's The Amazing Seller. Maybe Amazing Seller, The Amazing Seller, one of the two. But he has a podcast, but he was a guest on another podcast I was listening to. And, you know, he started talking about how he, you know, started a business selling on Amazon within 5 minutes of him talking. I'm like, oh, I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the same thing. Because it just takes all these options and kind of narrows it down to just this kind of one field. It seems like it narrows it down, but it's, you know, a lot more goes into it than that. But, as soon as I heard him talking about kind of the process and how it all worked, I was like, that sounds like a good route to go. And it's, you know, how I got started and what I wanted to do. So, you know, as Rich mentioned before, I, you know, drive a lot for work. I go through podcasts and audiobooks like crazy. I go through more content than I can find sometimes. So I drive around a lot for work, and, you know, I listen to, you know, Scott Volker on his podcast, and, you know, a lot of other people. There's AMPM podcast. A guy by the name of Manny Coates, his company's in this building here, surprisingly. Capitalism.com, they have another podcast. Amazing Sellers, another one. And so it's probably, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 podcasts today or more that talk about selling on Amazon. So I just started with them, and I'd listen to what they're talking about while I was driving around all day. I come home from work, hop on my computer, and start kind of doing my research and kind of applying what I learned during the day at night. You know, I'm one of those though, where I've always hated sleeping. I need sleep, I just hate it, and so I tend to stay up really late, especially when you go down those rabbit holes of research. You're like, oh crap, it's 2 a.m, I really got to go to sleep, but I'm really been having a lot of fun doing this. So, I just kind of spent a lot of time going through all this. There's a lot of really good Facebook groups as well, where there's, I don't know, 50 to 100,000 people all the time in these groups, and people just ask questions and people respond, get a lot of stupid questions, a lot of stupid answers, but kind of filter through the nonsense, and there's a lot of good information out there. There's also a lot of online courses. They're not really needed. I did this last night at like 1 a.m, so as you can tell, typos. The online courses are not really needed. You can get all the information through podcasts. I'm not a huge YouTube person. I know a lot of people are. You can get tons of information off of YouTube as well. For some people, they find, you know, the process of an online course a little bit easier because it's very structured. So if you want any recommendations, I can tell you which ones are good, which ones are bad, and which ones are a waste of money. So for my businesses here, so I ended up starting 2 businesses because one just wasn't enough. So I started selling saw blades. That was the first one I started in June of 2016.
Okay,
so
tell them why saw blades. Because you absolutely love them. That's all you've ever
done. Yeah, of course. So the way you would go about finding products on Amazon, or kind of what was the way people went through that process a few years ago, is you'd find a product that was, you know, less than 4 pounds that could fit in the size of a shoebox, because if it was more than 4 pounds or bigger than a shoebox, then you would have increased fulfillment fees from Amazon. So having smaller, lighter products allowed you to save a lot on shipping.
And you did a bit of research trying to find, like...
So there's a lot of software out there that I would use, but there's a ton of software out there today. So the guy that's in this building, he has a software called Helium 10. And it's a suite of softwares. It kind of, what it does is you analyze products or categories on Amazon for sales volume. So every product on Amazon has a bestseller rank. And off of that bestseller rank, a lot of these softwares have extrapolated out, you know, estimated daily, monthly sales from it. And so it's tracking, you know, millions and millions of products every single day. And, you know, to create these algorithms to figure out, you know, how much they're selling. And so what you do is you go through the software and kind of identify products that were, you know, had a high sales volume but weren't necessarily very competitive, or there wasn't a lot of competition for it, or maybe there was a lot of sellers but all the products that they're selling was crap. You know, I'm sure a lot of you have bought a lot of crappy products on Amazon. Because Amazon, you can essentially like buy your keyword rank if you throw enough money at it, and so that's the game that we all play. So I go through the software trying to figure out what products I want to sell. I had a list of maybe like 20 different products. I thought, oh, this would be really cool. You know, I started, you know, contacting manufacturers in China. You know, I've been selling for 3 years, never been to China still. It's all done online. And so I started contacting manufacturers, getting product samples for, you know, kind of the list of ideas. You know, I got some samples for these saw blades. I was like, oh, the samples are pretty good, you know. But I was like, I think these are some other ideas that I had that are a little bit better. Honestly, I have no clue what they were. I don't even remember what they were. But all I remember is I had a really hard time trying to source a quality product for it. And, you know, after like, 3 weeks maybe of trying to find a good manufacturer, I said, screw it, I just want to sell something. Saw blades it is. And that's how it got started. later on, I was talking with my parents, like, yeah, you know, it's really great that you chose saw blades, you know, because it wears out and people have to come by, I can buy it again. It's like, that's really smart that you chose that. I was like, I didn't even think about that at the time. It was probably 6 months down the road where I'm like, why are people buying like 20 sets of saw blades from me at a time? It's because it's a consumable product. It's just not a consumable, and, you know, of what you typically think of, like supplements and food and other things like that. So I started with about $3,000. You know, got some interest-free credit cards for a year, and that's, yeah, about all the money I put into the saw blade business. So I started selling. June of 2016 was when I got my first sale. So, you know, right about now. The first month maybe did like $1,000 or $2,000 in sales, and third, fourth month started to pick up. I was doing like $5,000-$6,000 a month, and I was like, this is pretty cool. So, you know, first year I did $64,000 in sales. That the second 6 months of the year, I was like, this is awesome. About that same time, a friend of mine who was in the home and houseware space worked for a very large company in that space. He was visiting here on vacation because he had moved to New York several years before, and I bumped into him at church, and as soon as I bumped into him, I'm like, hey, I've been meaning to talk with you about something. I started selling on Amazon. I know you've been to China, you know how to source products. We should do something together. So hence the frying pan business. And so, yeah, so that was probably like August of 2016 as we first started talking, and just... it just takes a while, and we're going through a lot of different product ideas at the time of different things we wanted to do. And then we were getting ready to place our order for frying pans, what we settled on, probably around October, November. And the manufacturer said, sorry, it's too late because Chinese New Year's in February, they shut down for a whole month. And so it's like, okay, well, we wanted to place the order in November, now we have to wait until they get back in March. And so it's just kind of lost time. So then it's, you know, 60-day production time. you know, saw blade or frying pans are a little bit bigger, coming in boxes, so those have to come by sea, so that's 30 days up by sea. So then from the time you place your order to the time you receive, it's about 90 days. So we started selling in June. Luckily, we started this one with a little bit more money. We've took out an SBA loan on it last year as well to help us grow. So saw blades, you know, first year, $64,000. Second year, $262,000. Last year, $552,000. You know, so far, year to date, about $252,000. You know, I sell oscillating saw blade, which is more of like a niche saw blade, so it's not, doesn't have the same growth capacity that frying pans do, where everybody needs a frying pan. And so that it's been a lot easier to grow this business. So we started selling in June of 2017. That first year, $197,000. You know, last year, $822,000. So far year to date, $422,000. You know, nice thing about Amazon is fourth quarter goes absolutely insane. And so we probably did half of all of our sales last year in the last 3 months of the year. And so, for this year it will be, you know, should be a really good year. I think I've 10, no, I've added a few lately, probably like 13 on the saw blades and 6 for the frying pans. Yeah.
Both
businesses run about 20-25% profit. Yeah. You know, the first couple of years, everything that we made just went back to growing it bigger. Especially the frying pans, because it just goes crazy during fourth quarter. In preparation for fourth quarter, we typically have about, anywhere between $75,000 to $125,000 of inventory on us, but then fourth quarter will bump up to $250,000-$300,000 just for the frying pans. Logistics is a pain to manage.
So are you storing the inventory? How does the inventory
So I store the inventory for the saw blades, because it's about this big, it's about that tall and this long. And so those sit in my garage. And so I'm no longer able to park in the garage anymore, but my wife still can. And then frying pans, those go to a third-party logistics company, and then they get shipped out to Amazon in chunks. We kind of trickle it in just to kind of keep down on the storage fees at Amazon. I learned you fill up a 2,000 frying pans fills up a 2-car garage, which was our second order of frying pans. And so at that point, I'm like, all right, we've got to figure something else out. So now we bring them in about 40-foot containers at a time. We're bringing in a 40-foot container probably like every – we sell about a 40-foot container like every other month. So about a 20-foot container a month is what we sell currently. And we have a few more products coming in. And so, yeah, so in 2017 for that number there, we had one frying pan and 2 lids that we sold. You know, lids are really cheap. Don't sell a ton of volume with them. But then last year we launched 3 more frying pans, and so every time you launch a product, kind of really helps, kind of jump your sales forward a lot. So for this year for the frying pans, we should probably do at least $1.5 million in sales. Saw blades, I'll probably do like $600,000-$700,000. There's just a lot of competitions come in lately, and so there's just things you just have to deal with. So, one thing that's unique about Amazon, as I mentioned before, is you can buy your position. And so, when you find a product that you want to sell, originally that's the process you would follow. Smaller price range, medium competition niches, and then you would do what's called a giveaway, where essentially you'd go, there's websites where you can go and get, upload coupons and give away your units at, 90-99% off. And so it's all about, getting a lot of sales momentum on Amazon, spiking the algorithm to get you ranking really high for a keyword. And then it kind of, once you're ranked high, then it just kind of takes over from there. And so, for any given keyword, the first three products get about 60% of all the clicks for that keyword term. And so if you can get yourself up to the first three, you know, it's really hard for people to unseat you unless they, you know, do a giveaway and go through that process as well. So yeah, so that's what I meant when people would come in and buy their positioning keyword rank on Amazon. And so, you know, in really competitive niches, you have to deal with that all the time. I don't really like dealing with that. You know, it's what you have to do to kind of, well, that's what you do to rank for products. There's lots of other things that we do these days that are way more complex I won't even get into. And so, yeah, that was kind of the initial process, at least when I got started a few years ago. Oh yeah. Well, there's tens of millions of products on Amazon. Tens of millions of products. Yeah. So like, when I got started, you know, everybody was. Or so if I would have gotten started a year before, oh man, it would have been so easy. but yeah. So when I got started, people were looking for product categories where a product was doing. Top selling products were doing between $30,000 to $50,000, $30,000 to $60,000 a month in sales, just that one product. And so today, kind of the lower competition niches are going to be products that do $10,000 to $20,000 a month in sales. Nothing wrong with the $10,000 to $20,000 a month product. Like personally, I prefer a little bit slower moving because then you don't have to worry about people coming in and finding your category. So when I found the saw blades, it was probably like a lower competition niche. There's like one guy that had been selling online for about 10 years, and he kind of dominated that space entirely. And I bought his product. I was like, well, his product's crap. I can go source something better. And so I did. And so I figured, you know, I'll come in, I'll be a little bit more expensive than him, still way cheaper than all the name brands, and I'll just go for the best quality I can find. And so if they buy his product, then buy mine, they'll come back and buy from me again. And so that's kind of the strategy that I followed. Yeah.
Are you able to send out
PowerPoint? Yeah, I can have Rich send it out for me.
And to jump in here, like Casey and I, we would go on these runs and he'd talk about, I just got a new shipment of blades that just came in, and he'd go and he would test them out and he would run them through. And he's like, yeah, this one's crap. And he's like, oh, I think I've got a good guy. I think he's got a pretty good product here.
So I've changed manufacturers probably like 3 or 4 times on my saw blades, and I finally found the manufacturer that DeWalt and Rockwell and all the other name brand companies are using, and so you can't get much better than that. And so it's the exact same product, just a different name is on it. It's the only difference between my product and theirs.
So what criteria did you use to determine the competition?
Once you start selling on Amazon, you look at Amazon entirely different. Like, when my wife buys stuff on Amazon, I'm like, why'd you buy this product? It's crap. She's like, well, I had a really good reviews. I'm like, yeah, well, they're all fake. Like, I can throw up a ton of fake reviews, too. Doesn't necessarily mean it's good. But personally, I look for products that don't have a Chinese name attached to them. So when I'm looking for categories, I look for categories where not everybody's Chinese. So, like, for the saw blades I sell, I'm the last U.S. seller of these saw blades because everybody else is Chinese. Although, you know, I've always thought my prices were way too cheap, and they're like $10 to $15 less. And I'm like, you're making like $2 per unit. What's the point of selling? But you know, they're just going after the volume, and you know, so I personally stay away from categories where there's a lot of Chinese. I like to stay away from categories where there are lots of new products or newer sellers. You know, if you were to go through page one and see that everybody on page one launched that product within the last 6 months, it means 6 months ago everybody found that same product when there was no competition, and now they all got the product in at the same time and all were trying to launch. Then you're dealing with 10 other people that are doing giveaways. So in order to rank your product, you have to outgive all the units that they're doing. And so it's just, I try to stay away from all of that. And so, you know, the way to sell on Amazon today though is changed. a lot from when I started selling 3 years ago. I would to kind of ride out all the low prices and the constant giveaways that you see. The best way is just to focus on building up a brand, focus on building up a social media presence, building up a Facebook group. You know, before I started selling on Amazon, like, social media was okay. Like, I didn't really spend much time on it. I spent a lot of time on on Facebook today, but it's just I'm in a lot of different groups. Some of them are Amazon related, some of them are selling online, other ones are brand, other ones are construction company groups or, you know, kitchen groups. You know, Facebook groups are kind of is where Facebook's going, because there's a lot of engagement within those groups, and so Facebook's really starting to push that a lot more now. And so if you can build up a group of people that have an interest or I guess are potential customers in the products that you want to sell, then as you come up with new products that can expand out your product line, you can just, you know, reach out to them and ask them for feedback of, hey, what do you like about this? What do you like about that? What should I do next? So, like, I'm in a lot of different construction Facebook groups and have gotten to know quite a few guys in there. And so anytime I want to get a new product and I have to go find a new manufacturer, I just give it out to all of them and say, hey, you know, use this. Tell me what you think. Is it good? Is it bad? Should I sell it or not? And so I use them as, like, my guinea pigs to tell me what I should do, or you kind of just listen and follow and hear what products that they talk about that they want.
What would you estimate is probably the only place to be the cost associated with buying your keyword
rank? $200,000? No, so it's nowhere near that amount. So doing coupon codes, you'd give away, you know, 300-400 products. Yeah, 100 between 100 to 400 products typically for those lower competition niches. And giveaways still work, but there's just more effective ways of doing it. The latest is rebates. So you find a group of people that want to buy your product, they go buy it on Amazon, and then you send them a rebate through PayPal for the full price. And so that way you're able to give away maybe 100 units. And so if your product costs $10, you know, your fulfillment fee, your fees on Amazon are $6, so then you're $16 for every unit you give away, so you're $1,600. But yeah, if you're going after a really high competition, yeah, you're going to get crazy numbers. The biggest seller for the solid blades that I sold on Amazon, he finally bowed out beginning of the year. Because essentially all of last year is just, you know, new seller after new seller, and they finally unseated him from the top spot. But it probably took like 4 or 5 sellers back to back, and they each spent anywhere between like $40,000 to $75,000 on their just through their giveaway process just to unseat him. It can get a little bit crazy, and so I prefer to stay out of the super competitive ones and just find the low hanging fruit. You know, there's tons of opportunity out there still. It's just taking the time to go through it, or, you know, figuring out, you know, is there a product that you would like that's not available in the market? Build up a Facebook group, find a whole bunch of people that have that same interest in common as you do, and then just start using them as your guinea pigs and getting feedback from them on what products you should launch and, you know, how to make products better and things like that. And so, it's Facebook groups are just very interesting because people are, for the most part, very, very open and very willing to help. Which, you know, I would say I have a lot of friends I've met online, which just sounds really weird. And I never, when people would say that they have friends that they met online, I'm just like, what are you talking about? That's just weird. And I totally get it now. So that's kind of the process that I went through. Any questions that people have?
So tell them a little bit about, and this ties back to what I said at the beginning, where, you know, at the beginning, when you started this, you were essentially getting paid for what you did. Like, you physically had the stuff come to your house. You would take them.
Yeah, I would quality control the saw blades myself because I had a manufacturer that was kind of And so I would have to repackage everything, and I figured I could package up 60 sets an hour. So I just turn on Netflix and just 60 sets an hour, repackage everything. Did it all. Yeah, we had to relabel 1,000 frying pans once. That took way longer. that took a long time. Just because, yeah, they're big.
And so listening to Casey talk about these problems, I was looking at my own business, you know, where I work for someone else, and so sometimes we're going, this is ridiculous. I'm putting in 8, 10, 12, 14 hours, and like, it's killing me. I've got to figure out a way to replace myself. And that's really how many of us get to the next level, is how do you replace yourself in what you're doing?
Yeah.
And that's through outsourcing. And so whether it's you're hiring some college kid to help you out, or high school kid, or in our particular case, Casey and I work with some people who are outside of the country.
Yep.
So we're able to tell them a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, you know, the only way to double your output is by getting more people. And so, what was it, about 2 years ago, so a year in, you know, once you get into, like, the online space, like, it's a whole world of its own. But, yeah, most people have a lot of VAs, which are people overseas. So, because like, you can hire somebody full-time in the Philippines for, you know, if you want to go really cheap, $300 a month. If you want to get somebody that's really good, $600, $700, $800 a month, full-time. And so, about a year in, I decided, you know, I would like some help, since I had both businesses running at that point. And originally I was just going to hire one guy in the Philippines, but I found two guys are really good. I was like, well, I like them both, and I think they'd both be really helpful. And only like $400 each, so might as well take both. So I hired both. I hired two guys at once, just kind of hopping in. And it's been really, really good. You know, people in the Philippines, they're super loyal. You can get them through a website. You can find them through a website called onlinejobs.ph. Is where most people will find theirs. There's also outsourcing companies you can go through, but they're going to charge you $1,000 a month to $1,500 a month when you can get the exact same person for, you know, $400 to $600 if you do it yourself.
And so what are they doing out with pushing Facebook?
So they helped me out with a ton. So like managing pay-per-click ads. I taught one of my guys how to do it following my process, and so he runs all my ads for me entirely now. So I go in and I just mess everything up like every few weeks, so then he'll have to fix it again. And you know, just he finds that equal, you know, the kind of a balance point where it's like we're making money off of our ad spend and all, but you know, what can happen is you might underbid, and you know, if it's not doing that for whatever reason, keywords just not doing very well for a couple weeks, you might drop your bid too low, so then it's just underperforming where it could be. So then I'll just go in and jack the bid up a whole bunch. And then, you know, following my process, he'll bring the bid back down to a more balanced point. So yeah, so I have a guy that does all the pay per click. I have guys that do social media for me now. I'm getting a lot more into you know, SEO and driving content, you know, driving traffic to my own websites. Then I have a guy that's building links for me. Have a guy that's writing content for me. I basically typed up the words. I gave it to him, and he did all the pictures and made it look pretty for me. But yeah, you can find him to do anything. So yeah, I work with about 85 agencies here in Orange County, and I've taught a lot of my insurance agencies how to go find people in the Philippines, how to outsource a lot of the busy work data entry portion of the of their insurance business. And so, yeah, you can outsource almost anything if you put together the right process. And so,
when do they work?
They work. Well, you can have them work our hours. You know, one of my guys tried to work all hours, and I'm like, no, I have a job. Like, don't work during your night. Work during your day. And so, yeah, so they typically come on anywhere between, like, 3 to 5 in the afternoon, which is perfect because it's about when I'm getting off of work. And then they're up, and then they work their 8 hours, so they're up till about 1 or 2. And so, you know, they're on working, and I'm on working, and then when they're done, that's when I'm done, and I go to bed. And so,
I gotta say, there's nothing better than, like, last night, Casey and I are chatting with one of them, telling him telling him, hey, get this done, and I'm tired, I'm done. So I go to bed, and you wake up in the morning, and you have this message saying, it's done, and you have something completely done. It's like, I'm working while I'm sleeping. It's like the best.
Yeah. The guy that does this for us, you know, he's done some animation videos, and they're really, really good, really talented. Like, everybody has a college degree over there. Like, the guy pays $600 a month, he got his degree in chemical engineering. You know, and so it's just, you know, cost of living over there, $600 a month, like, is a really, really, really good job. Because most people maybe make $300 to $400 a month, but they're spending about $100 to $150 a month just on transportation expense going to and from work. And so, you know, they're maybe making $250, $300 a month. And so to work from home, make $400 a month, they're loving life. And so they're very loyal. You know, when I hired my first person, I was like, you know, how can I trust them? How do I know if they're actually going to work, if they're going to take advantage of me? You know, because it's a person in a foreign country, and in a country I've never been to. And so, you know, within like the first couple weeks of hiring them and talking with them a lot, I realized he had all the same concerns about me. He didn't know if, you know, I was going to have him work for me for a week and then just never respond back to him or just let him go and not pay him. And so as soon as I realized that he had all the same concerns I did, you know, I was like, all right, well, here's everything about me. Like, I work a full-time job. Here's my family. Here's pictures of my family. This is what I like to do. And this is the business starting on the side. Like, here's everything. And so once we got past that, then it's like, you know, those barriers came down, and it's been great ever since.
I outsource my seminary PowerPoint lessons.
You kick them over to Rich, and Rich kicks them over to our guy?
So far, no false doctrine.
The other guy gets all the blessings.
Yeah, so everything's my own branded product. So saw blade business called Riker Hardware, frying pans, Almond Home. Yeah, so my partner on the frying pans, you know, I mentioned he worked for a large home and houseware company, and so after we had been selling for about 9 months, he was in a meeting. And they were talking about Amazon, and we popped up as the top 10 biggest competitors on Amazon. So he about died that day. But he's since left that company and, you know, doesn't have a guilty conscience every day he goes to work. It's all of our own branded products. So, yeah, there's a lot of different ways you can sell on Amazon. You can buy wholesale, sell it on Amazon. There's retail arbitrage where, I don't know if you've seen people that go through Target or other stores and are just scanning products. They're finding products that they can buy from Target for $5 and sell on Amazon for $15. That's what they're doing.
I'm curious what would make you want to make this your main hustle, not a side hustle?
That's where that's what I've been building up to. So that'll happen, you know, end of this year. You know, just have to, buy a couple $100,000 of inventory for fourth quarter, and then, you know, we should be good.
That ties in very much to my question about your brand, because if you didn't have the brand, how much risk would you
take?
Something like that?
It'd be nothing. Because if I was just buying somebody else's product, I would have to buy, like, a two-week supply at a time or a three-week supply at a time. But, you know, when it's your own branded product, like, the thing that sucks about selling on Amazon is you have to pre-buy everything before you've sold a single unit. Where, you know, if you sell retail channels, basically everything's pre-sold by the time you place your order. And so, yeah, so you have to front all the money. So, like, last year we brought over 4 40-foot containers for Christmas, and each 40-foot container is about $40,000. And so we had to, you know, spend $160,000 on 16,000 frying pans, not having sold a single one. So.
Do you see value in, you know, developing your own website? Because right now, I assume your website is Amazon.
I do have my own website. I do, yeah. So most Amazon sellers will build a website fairly early on, and they use it as a placeholder. And that's what I did as well for a long time. But then when I realized that I was getting a lot of repeat business, and that repeat business continued, and, you know, I have companies that spend like $300 to $400 with me every single month on Amazon, you know, if I could get them to buy from me directly on my own website, well, then I make a lot more money. And so, yeah, so about, I know, a year and a half ago, I started putting not a ton of emphasis on it, but a little bit of emphasis towards it and behind it. But the last 6 months, I've been doing a lot more with it. So I have a programmer. So one of the first guys that I hired was a programmer, or is a programmer. And so I do stuff. He'll do the more complicated stuff. He's not design-wise. His stuff is pretty crappy. So I'll make it look pretty or use the other guy to make it look good, and then I'll have him make it work. But we just use Shopify, so it's pretty easy to do.
And yeah. You also use the website because you ran into the problem with people that you told us. I know you've done it, but you get the product from Amazon, and you're like, yeah, I really don't want to use this junk, and you send it back, even though you didn't use it, and you didn't have a legitimate reason to send it back. What happens when I do that, Casey?
Oh, yeah, we pay the shipping. So if you don't have an Amazon Prime account and you pay for a product to be shipped to you, it doesn't matter. I still pay the shipping. You know, Amazon charges us fulfillment for each individual item. So, like, if somebody's buying 20 sets of saw blades from me, Amazon's charging me $4 to fulfill each unit, even though all 20 units are going into one box. They're charging me $80 to fulfill that order, where I could fulfill that order myself from my own website for $15.
So then it gets returned, and then Amazon doesn't sit there and say, okay, well, we'll keep it in store. They send it back to Casey. And his office at one point was filled with a bunch of return.
Yeah. So I give away all my return frying pans, most of them. Like, I would say like 95% of them have never been used. You know, maybe like 20% haven't even been taken out of the box.
Saw blades?
Well, you know, I sell them in sets, and so I sell them on my website as individual units. So yeah, most people that buy from my website are just buying my return saw blades. But my return rate on saw blades is so incredibly low, it doesn't, yeah, it's nothing. Saw blade turn rate's probably like 1% or less.
Defects
is not really defects at all. It's just like a machine that stamps it and welds two pieces together. So it's defect rate's extremely low, like almost none. Frying pans is maybe like 2% defect, like 1 to 2% defect rate. Return rate of frying pans is like 3 to 4% is what our return rate is. Yeah. So, you know, right now we sell like 2,000 to 3,000 pans a month. You know, fourth quarter we'll do, you know, 8,000 to 12,000 frying pans a month, and so it's, you know, 3 to 4% return rate on, you know, 2,000 to 3,000 pans isn't horrible, but January I'm just like overflowing. So
website for the
onlinejobs.ph. What you want to do is just when you'll create a job posting like you would for, you know, indeed.com or Craigslist or anywhere where you post your job postings, you'll probably get about 100 plus people apply within like the first 2 or 3 days. So it's a lot to weed through. What I've found through trial and error, especially with finding a graphic designer, we went through a lot of them to find a good one. What you want to do is you want to give them a project to complete before you even like look at the resume. And so after going through a lot of graphic designers, we came up with this complicated product that was a project for the graphic designer to do that was really vague. It was bad. It was really bad. But we did like that on purpose. We wanted to see if they're going to ask questions, if they needed help. We wanted to see how, you know, what if they asked the right question. And so we probably had maybe 200 people apply and maybe 3 people actually complete the project. And so the people that take the time to complete the project are going to be much harder workers, much more determined, a much better employee overall. And so, yeah, if anytime you hire somebody, even here in the U.S., you could do it too. You know, give them a project to work on, and before you even look at the resume or consider talking with them, have them complete that project first. And so, yeah, people would apply, and I'd send them all the information about the project, like, all right, you know, we're not going to consider you until you complete the project. You know, I had a couple of people ask questions, but hardly anybody completed it.
Oh,
yeah. periodically, you know, just the cost of doing business is the way I view it. It doesn't happen all that often. Amazon does a pretty good job with it. The biggest issue I've had is if products come into their warehouse, sometimes they'll relabel it so it's the wrong product, then all of a sudden wrong product's being shipped out, so they have to recall the inventory, figure it out, or you have to send a request on Amazon to have them do an investigation, but they're always really bad at it, and it's better just to recall the inventory and send it back in. So I just had to do that with two products, yeah.
And they just send the 40-foot container to the fulfillment center and they just take care of it?
So with the frying pans, we don't ship in a 40-foot container because Amazon charges you per cubic foot. Where our third-party logistics company charges us $8 a pallet per month to ship it or for storage. and so I prefer to keep it in bulk, either my house with the saw blades, which I don't really have to because it's small, or the frying pans at the third-party logistics company, and then trickle it in, do a shipment every couple weeks. Especially during fourth quarter, because during fourth quarter, I think it goes up to like, I think right now we pay like a 60 cents a cubic foot, and fourth quarter goes like $2 a cubic foot, so our storage bills are like $10,000 to $15,000 a month for the frying pans. Like, saw blades are so small, it goes from maybe like $20 a month to $40 a month, so it's nothing. Yeah. Yeah, so you definitely need that. There's a lot of companies out there that specialize in it. Like, I'm a numbers guy, have zero artistic ability. I'm not a creative person at all. I can take something, some work that somebody else has done and make it a little bit better, but like, hey, do this from scratch, I'm like, eh, no, just, you know. So I'll hire out a lot of work, and there's a lot of companies out there that specialize in product photography just for Amazon or listing creation just for Amazon. And it's, with listing creation, it's about getting the right keywords that have enough search volume and placing keywords either title or bullet points or product description and kind of getting them in the right spot. Anything else? So we ship, you know, let's say, I know, 800 pans a month, to 800 pans a week to Amazon. And then every time an order comes through, Amazon fulfills it for us. Yeah. Like Prime Day, you know, I'm hoping to sell 4,000 frying pans. So, yeah, Prime Day is Amazon's biggest shopping day of the year, way bigger than Black Friday and Cyber Monday. It's July 14th, 16th, somewhere around there. Yeah.
America loses out on a lot of business because all of your employees or you guys are online.
Yeah, you guys are all crashing Amazon's website. It's been a fun journey. There's been a lot of stress, a lot of work, a lot of hard work has gone into it. You know, I'd say this has kind of led me down a lot of other rabbit holes for other businesses as well. So my wife says no more businesses. I would encourage anybody to give it a try that wants to. There's a ton of potential, tons of opportunity. I've enjoyed it a lot. It's a lot of fun, personally. If anybody needs help, you know, Rich will send out my contact info, or you guys can ask me and find me online. I'm more than happy to help you guys out if you need it. So, I'll put it up here right now.
So, if you know Casey, every time it's business time, he's always talking business.
Luckily, it's my hobby.
Yeah, it's. So, this is just a quick thank you for you. If we can give him a round of applause. Please. And because you didn't get to eat breakfast, I'll take you out for lunch, and we'll go ahead and talk some more. But is this valuable?
Yeah,
I thought it was really interesting. And again, I've learned a ton with just watching him do this, and I'm applying it in my own regular quote-unquote 9-to-5. So hopefully you got some ideas that you can all apply, to your own regular jobs if you're trying to do the side hustle and so forth. Do us a favor. We are trying to make these meetings as beneficial as possible for you. We love having you come here. We think it's great for the knowledge for each of you, and camaraderie, the networking, and so forth. So if you have some ideas, and like, hey, I know this guy or this gal who's really good at something, and I think it'd be very valuable for everyone, please let us know so that we can make sure we have the right people coming here for this. And yeah, and make sure you fill out the Balanced Network, and thanks again.
And construction guys, if you need saw blades.